90.7 WKGC. This is The Mix. That's the Guess Who and No Sugar tonight. It's talking with our two producers this morning, producer Brandon and producer Caleb this morning. Guess who that is? Yeah, it's the Guess Who, of course. So you know how they got their name?
No idea. Tell me.
And I know this because I interviewed one of the members of the band a few years ago. Actually, a lot of years ago. So many so that I don't remember who it is we interviewed. But I think he was the drummer. We're having trouble getting their stuff on the radio. You know, they send this stuff out and, you know, record companies and musicians would send out their stuff. Radio stations would get stacks of these records every day. So they just stopped putting a label on it and then just wrote on the front, Guess Who? So it would make them make the DJ or the program director open it up and see, well, who is this? And so the name stuck.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's a great marketing idea.
Yeah.
You can probably only get away with that once. They also did great songs. Lenny Kravitz did one of their songs a few years ago, American Woman.
Yeah.
Guess Who? They did it. So how are you guys doing this morning?
Good. A little tired. I was staying up late last night.
Video games?
Watching news conferences about video games.
So yes. Video
so
games.
So yes.
Yeah, it's not the demographic. The
That's lame.
Says the going on 40.
Hey, easy. I was up till almost 10 last night, but I'm, you know, I was up at the gym at 5:30 this morning. Where were you?
In bed, 5:30.
See, there you go.
I was.
It's a trade-off.
I was kind of awake. My brother was getting ready for his work.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's good to keep things moving. We have Tori out today. She's having, you know, I don't know, she's getting an arm removed or something like that.
She's going to come back with like a robot arm.
Something like that, I think. A bionic in some way, shape, or form. Tom is on his way out to Tech Farms. If you're not familiar with Tech Farms, it's one of our best kept secrets around here. And he's going to be talking with some of the folks there about what they're developing. So he's out on the road. And in the meantime, you're stuck with the three of us. It's a bit like the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
So we'll take a break here in a moment. We've got plenty of music coming your way. We've got a great vinyl play of the day, Lady Gaga, also music from Train, Smash Mouth, and whatever else we decide to come up with. Right now, though, a great classic from Toto. This is Rosanna on The Mix, 90.7 WKGC, your local public radio station. 90.7 WKGC, this is The Mix. That's ABBA and Dancing Queen. It is 9:22, and our guest is in the studio this morning, and we thought we had lost her, but she was actually just in another part of the building, and she's not a dancing queen. Instead, she's one of our most notorious guests, one of our famous guests, because we talk about her all the time. She just doesn't know it. And that's Cindy Mullis of the
Beach Mosquito Control District.
Yes. And she always has just interesting things to talk about. We were just talking off air that next time you need to bring some, I don't know, samples, pictures. I'm not sure.
Well, I'll bring the real thing for sure.
I don't want it to eat on me.
No, we'll keep you safe.
So tell us what's happening in the mosquito world.
Well, right now the numbers are extreme in the mosquito populations, and our district is acting accordingly to lower the population of the mosquito numbers. And we can't do it alone. We really rely on the public to contact their local mosquito control district. Whether you live in Bay County, you'd contact there. If you live in Panama City Beach, from the Hathaway Bridge to the South Walton Line and south of the Intercoastal Waterway, you'd contact Beach Mosquito Control District.
And what are some of the things that we can do as homeowners?
Well, we really rely on you to go around your home weekly looking for standing water. Anything that can hold or has the potential of holding water around your home. And don't forget those rain gutters. It's another place people forget to look up and take care of.
Sure. They like living in there.
Oh, they do.
So we were talking off air about the mosquitoes and why the population is so high this time of year or this year.
Well, actually, when a mosquito lays her eggs, one mosquito will lay 250 eggs to 300 eggs per drop of blood. And a majority of those eggs can last over a year.
Wow. And so you were telling me the eggs can last in the wintertime. They don't get destroyed by the cold.
She knows where to lay them. She'll lay them in tree holes, you know, under decaying vegetation, moist areas, so they'll stay viable.
Wow.
And also, if you have containers around the home and you had them outside, let's say you went to Shell Island for the weekend and you forgot you left your cooler open and it collected some rainwater, she will lay those eggs, even if there's no water in those containers, she will lay those eggs waiting for the water to rise and trigger the eggs to hatch.
And you were telling us the eggs can hatch in like 15 minutes?
If the water is 80 degrees or warmer, that's correct, including the salt marsh mosquitoes too.
So what's the time? Is it how long is the time between when the female lays the eggs to when they actually hatch? Is it 15 minutes?
It can, yes. And actually, when she bites you, it takes approximately 3 to 4 days for her to develop those eggs. She'll rest, and then she'll be looking for a place to deposit her eggs. And then depending, some mosquitoes lay their eggs differently. Some will lay them individually, put 25 here, 15 there. Other mosquitoes will lay their eggs in an egg raft that floats on top of the water. Those eggs, if she does lay them in a bird bath and the water is warm from the solar heat, they do hatch rather relatively quickly.
Wow.
Within 24 hours at the length of time.
And then they're off.
And within 7 to 10 days under optimal conditions, they'll be flying around.
I don't really care to be a part of the birthing process of a mosquito.
Right, the life cycle, right?
Yeah, I don't care to do that.
That's why we need you guys to break the cycle by draining that standing water around your homes.
Okay. And so what else do you do at Beach Mosquito? I mean, you're counting these things too, right?
Absolutely. What we do is our first line of defense is we need to know what's out there. So we have traps and we have an entomologist on board and we will set the traps. We have the technician that will set multiple different types of traps for different reasons. We know which mosquitoes have the potential also of carrying the arbovirus or the mosquito-borne diseases. And we're also looking for those populations to keep you guys safe. It's a public health issue. And our director and all the directors will go by the number of mosquitoes you catch per trap to determine if we need to treat an area. And then again, we also rely on, again, the citizens and visitors to contact us. We're not going to write you tickets if you have mosquitoes around your home. We want to help you. We want to take care of the problem.
That's good, because I've got mosquitoes around my home.
Give us a call.
Do you participate in the spraying in the area? And
oh, yes, we do that too. See, that's what deems, the operational procedure our director is going to take for the local area. He goes by the numbers, the number of requests, and the type of mosquitoes we're finding as well. But we try to target the larval stage of the mosquitoes first before they become the adults, because it's easier for us to target them. About a week and a half ago, we did a four-hour aerial mission dispersing a larvicide product throughout the areas we can't reach by land or foot with our trucks. And it will actually slow down the process and kill the larvae before they become adults.
I'm okay with that.
Me too.
How many different kinds of mosquitoes are there?
We have approximately 45 species
really?
Here in our area here in Bay County. And for the state of Florida, there's 80, United States, 750, and 3,000 for the world.
Wow. And so there's that small group, because comparatively it is a small group, small different ones, they like it here in Northwest Florida.
Oh, absolutely. We have the optimal weather conditions for mosquitoes in the state of Florida. We have the subtropical species in the southern part of the state and middle part of the state. And then as we move north, we have different species as well.
So who tells the difference between these different kinds of, is that your job? Is that the entomologist?
I help the entomologist out too. I'm trained to do that as well. And we have some other people at the district, and our entomologist is one primarily responsible for doing, but we all pitch in. We're all cross-trained.
They all look the same to me.
When you look under the microscope, there are actually some pretty ones, believe it or not.
Really?
We have some golden-colored ones with a sapphire stripe on their thorax, and we have some that are actually so dark in color, they actually purple.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you said off air that was really interesting was that really the insect is it lives in the water.
It is. Three parts of the life cycle are spent in the water. The egg needs water, the larvae need water, and so do the pupae, which is like the cocoon stage of the mosquito. It does move around. It just doesn't eat. And it's difficult for us to treat the pupa stage because it is not eating at that time. It is just breathing. And then we have to wait for them to become adults. And the adult, of course, is spent out of the water.
Right. Bothering me.
Right. All of us.
And what's the life cycle? I mean, how long does it live?
Optimal conditions. Oh, how long will the adult will live? Approximately 6 weeks.
Okay.
And they do winter over in homes and other places they can.
Right. I don't like them.
No, nor do I.
You were telling us last time about chickens. And
yes.
Mosquitoes. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, birds harbor the mosquito-borne diseases, West Nile virus, St. Louis encephalitis, and Eastern equine encephalitis. So a mosquito would have to bite a wild bird that would have the disease already in their bodies, and then they can transmit the disease that way. So we have sentinel chickens in wooded areas in the East End, Central End, and West End of the beach area, and we're the marker for Bay County. And every Monday morning, our technicians will go out and they'll take samples of blood from the chickens. It doesn't harm us. Like if you go to the doctor, you take a little sample of blood, we process it, send it to Tampa, and it will determine if we have any mosquito-borne diseases in our local area, as well as our entomologists will also sort out the mosquitoes, the ones that we know that have the potential of setting are spreading a disease, and he will send them off, or he will test them locally in our lab to see if the mosquitoes actually have any diseases too.
Excellent. I mean, is it appropriate to send any of our producers or students out there to take the place of some of the chickens? I feel bad for the chicken.
No, I actually want to keep everybody safe. We used to do landing rates. We do landing rates still to determine how serious an area is, but we kind of stay away from that because we don't want any of our technicians to become ill with the mosquito-borne disease.
Thank you for your quick answer on that one.
You're welcome.
I mean, I'm just trying to help out the chicken. I like chickens.
These guys rock. You have to keep them around for a
sure.
while.
How many chickens do you guys have?
We have actually six at each site.
Okay.
And we have a reserve flock that is not affected by any mosquitoes. We keep them in a very secure area.
Those are the pampered chickens.
Yes.
Until they are called into service.
Right.
Absolutely.
And actually, we have to do a confirmation. We'll do the first bleed. If it comes back confirmed, then we have to rebleed again to make sure it was a true positive and not a false positive.
Wow, that's incredible work. What about a website?
www.pcbeachmosquito.org, or you can contact Beach Mosquito Control at 850-233-5030. And please call. We do encourage you to call us.
And Cindy, you go out at lots of places to talk about your mosquitoes and bugs.
Yes. As a matter of fact, this evening, I would like to promote a wonderful family event over at Camp Helen. It's called Movies and More, and it starts at 5:30. They'll have a guest speaker from Golf World there this evening, and I will be there also with their educational trailer. We have STEM programs that we go to the local schools, and we're at a majority of a lot of the events here locally.
Is that event inside or outside?
It's going to be outside for part of it, and inside you'll see a movie afterwards. It's great. You'll be able to cook hot dogs, s'mores, and have a great time with your family. We're trying to encourage families to come back together and do the old-fashioned things.
What do you guys recommend as far as repellent? So if you're going to have this event outside, I don't want to get eaten up by the mosquitoes.
And especially with the yellow flies, too. And we want to protect you against ticks also. So there are repellents that, of course, the ones that contain DEET are very good. There's another one that's a spin-off. That's the active ingredient is DEET. But the active ingredient in this repellent we call it Bicaridin, and you can find it in a lot of different types of repellents. And it's a personal preference to see what works best for you. I personally, for myself, I use the Bicaridin.
Does burning citronella actually keep the mosquitoes away?
It does. You need to follow the directions. And also, same thing with repellents. You need to read the label because the label is the law. With the citronella candles, it'd be four for a 50-foot area. Also, if you're outdoors and you have a safe place to plug in an oscillating fan that goes back and forth, the breeze will keep the mosquitoes away, too.
Will it really?
Yes, it does.
Do they just avoid it? They don't like it?
Right. Or? It's difficult for them to fly towards you.
Okay.
But still, they're going to find you because it's the carbon dioxide and the lactic acid in your sweat that's going to lure them towards you. And then also, if you wear perfumes, they'll think you're a pretty flower because they are pollinators. They drink nectar, and they'll find you either way, unfortunately.
Keep that in mind, Caleb. Okay. No perfume. So give us your web address one more time,
okay,
Cindy.
www.pcbeachmosquito.org.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cindy Mullis from the Mosquito Beach and Beach Mosquito.
Beach Mosquito
backwards.
Control District.
Yes.
That's all right.
And you have to come back again.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Absolutely. We've got Tom on deck at Tech Farms, and he'll be with us in just a few moments. We've got a weather forecast from News 13's Kara Murphy here on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. It's The Clash on The Mix on 90.7 WKGC. That classic question, should I stay or should I go? Any thoughts?
I mean, we're almost done, so you should go eventually.
Probably should. You know, we may go a little long this morning. We've got Tom out on the road, and he's out at a place called Tech Farms, and he's with the big boss of Tech Farms, I guess, Steve Milloway.
He is the big boss at Tech Farms, yes.
He's also one of our board of members here at Gulf Coast State College, so
he is.
We want to thank him for all of his support.
He's just involved in, I was reading a little thing he left on the table here, he's involved in way too much stuff. Steve is just involved in, he's one of these people that apparently can't say no when somebody says, hey, can you come over to Tallahassee and help us with this? He goes, sure.
Well, there's a room here at Gulf Coast State College at the Advanced Technology Center with his name on it. It says Milloway Institute. What is that?
Yes. Well, we're not doing Milloway Institute, Scott. We're doing Tech Farms today.
Yes.
We're at Tech Farms. He just kind of gets a cross-eyed look when you mention the other room. So let's just go with the Tech Farms. And that is, Steve, why don't you give us a clue as to what is this? I mean, it's a very nice place, but what is it? And what are you guys doing? And what is your history?
Okay. Well, thanks for the opportunity to discuss Tech Farms. Probably should start with the history. I grew up in this town, you know, back a long time back, and moved away because there wasn't a lot of technology companies to work for. And we're primarily, you know, focused on tourism and the military. There was, of course, the Navy base in Tyndall, and I actually worked there as a co-op student, you know, through college. But when I graduated, I looked around and basically had to leave town. So I spent a lot of time out in Arizona, and wife and I moved back to Panama City in 2007. We started getting involved with the Gulf Coast State College at that time, and the then current president was talking about this advanced technology mm-hmm. center concept. And so I got very interested in that because I thought that could be, you know, sort of the changing point in time, the inflection point, if you will, to get, you know, more students, you know, involved in the high tech, you know, advanced manufacturing, all these kind of things that, you know, create high paying jobs all over the country. And we're just a little bit behind here in, you know, the Panama City and in general Northwest Florida area. So I got involved in that, and, you know, we worked for 5 or 6 years to, you know, get plans for the building and more than anything, get the funding. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, funding drives to get the dollars to build the facility. When it opened in 2013, I was a little bit, you know, disappointed that it wasn't an incubator in the building, because mm-hmm. that was kind of the plan from day one. But it's one of those things where it's a cost issue, and there's a lot of other things that weren't included mm-hmm. at the last minute. But as a result, it did open in 2013, and it's, if you haven't been there, it's just a phenomenal facility, and it really is changing, you know, life here for the better throughout the Panhandle. So a couple of people, you know, after that said, you know, well, why don't you just do an incubator on the outside, and you know, outside of the college. And I thought about it for a few months and decided, you know, it's kind of crazy not to do that mm-hmm. because we got students, you know, going through these programs, and some of them are interested in, you know, becoming entrepreneurs. And we decided to go ahead and do that. So we set this place up in about 2015. So what we do here is we're a technology incubator. We're focusing primarily on the tech sector because that is where all the high-paying jobs are these days. You know, just about any company that you can name, you know, has tech in it in some way or another, mm-hmm. whether it's social media, whether it's you know, the internet they have to have to their facility. It's just, it's sort of, you know, involved in everything these days. So so what we do here is we provide incubation space for entrepreneurs. We have a what we call a co-working space. If you don't have an idea, you just want to come in and sort of network with other people. We have lots of people coming in here all the time from different disciplines. You know, it's mechanical engineering, just people that like to tinker. We got people from the Navy base in here just about every day. And so if you want to co-work, you can just bring your laptop in. We have fiber connection to the internet. We have places to sit. We have a little, you know, free coffee. We have ping pong tables. It's kind of a fun environment. Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice place. It's very well done.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here in your conference room looking out over one of the work areas out there, and people are wandering around out there doing something, which I hope, after we get off air, I hope to figure out what they're doing.
Well, let's hope they're not playing ping pong all day.
No, I don't see anybody playing ping pong yet.
Well, there's nothing right, wrong with that. I mean, there's maybe some scientific or some, you know, maybe some sort of
it's a good
physics
way to
or something.
Physics, yeah.
Yeah,
there
you
go. A great way to practice physics.
Or brainstorming. Maybe they're brainstorming.
Yes.
Which would be good.
If you visit us, you'll see we're pretty sort of a laid-back facility on purpose, because that's where, you know, people are most productive. If you're, everybody's wearing suit and ties, and it's sort of, you know, a sterile environment, that's not conducive for, you know, thought and entrepreneurs. And we're open 24/7. We have, everybody has card access. Mm-hmm. They can come and go, you know, 24/7. We have a makerspace area where we have, you know, basic electronics tools, power supplies, meters, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. If you're doing electronics, a lot of people are doing, you know, single board computer mm-hmm. projects with their Arduinos
sure.
and
mm-hmm.
things like that, Raspberry Pi. Mm-hmm. We have three buildings actually on the site, and one of them is geared specifically for prototyping. We have a metal shop, woodworking shop, a lot of tools over there for sort of the dirty
yeah,
type
uh-huh.
stuff that's not, you know, the clean electronics type stuff. But we have tenants here doing a wide range of things. We had a lady that was that had a plant business, and she was purchasing a little small, you know, 4 or 5 inch plants from South Florida for, you know, 50, 75 cents, bringing them up, set up an e-commerce site, and was selling them for $10 or $12. Mm-hmm. And she did real well and was here for 6 or 7 months and moved out. We have other people, for example, engineers at the Navy base mm-hmm. and, you know, lifetime Navy people that have had experience in underwater devices like rebreathers. Mm-hmm. That's one of our best successes so far. Gentleman had 25 years experience with a rebreather technology, decided there might be an application for a land-based mm-hmm. use of that. And make a long story short, they came to Tech Farms. We helped them get set up. A year later, they had a patent for the device. And what it is a it's a wearable garment with a rebreather built in, and it's geared towards, if you can imagine, coal mining. Mm-hmm. We're in a coal mine, and there's a mining collapse, and of course, the toxic air environment, you have a short time left. Mm-hmm. You just basically turn on this oxygen bottle and pull the strap, and you've got a mouthpiece. You got 2 hours of oxygen.
Wow.
So there's a large application for that, not just in mining, but you can imagine even in high-rises.
Sure.
Where you have a fire and the smoke mm-hmm. is going through the building, and it takes a long time to get out, mm-hmm. you know, and there's chemical, biological weapons for the military. That's a big application, oil and gas. But so they're doing real well, and they moved out. They're right on, you know, Back Beach Road now and have a pretty good-sized business.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask, if somebody's interested in becoming a tenant there at Tech Farms, is what's the process to be accepted?
Yeah, it's quite simple. First of all, I should say that we need more entrepreneurs and innovators, people that may not want to, you know, start a business yet, but want to come in, they have an idea, they want to fabricate it. So the process is you basically give us a call or send us an email, and we come. You come in, we give you a, you know, 30-minute tour, show you what we're all about, and it's very simple. So we have people just about every day. We had a couple yesterday from the Navy base that came over. They have an idea. We went through it for a couple of hours, and we show them, you know, what we can do. We have an administrative staff here that can help them get set up with a website, social media, all that kind of stuff that you got to put together to get, you know, the word of your company. And one really nice thing that we have is a full-time accounting company here on site. AFS Accounting is Laura Nelson, and she was actually our first tenant, and we sought her out because most of the people we talk to, you know, are not very interested in setting up their own books and accounting. They're idea people. They have an idea that they want to develop, and sort of the financial end of it's, you know, the last thing they think of. So that has helped, and we're sort of a full service, you know, in that respect. But basically, it's very low key, and we do it, you know, free advising on, you know, what we think your idea, if it has merit or not, and if you are interested in pursuing it, it's very low cost to come in. And co-working is just $85 per month, and that gets you access to all the people here. We have events. We have had an open house a few weeks ago with almost 200 people here. But I would encourage anybody that has, you know, the entrepreneurial instinct or just wants to create to come talk to us.
That is a really, really, like you said, that's an easy process. And what a way to encourage the folks in this area to really get out there and stretch their, you know, their creative or entrepreneurial legs, I guess, to try that. And how is the best way to get a hold of you at Tech Farms?
Okay, you can go to our website at Tech Farms, it's plural, techfarms.com. You can send an email. My email address is smillaway, that's S-M-I-L-L-A-W-A-Y, at msn.com. But it's all there on the at techfarms.com. One other thing I would add is that Tom and I were talking earlier, what are some of the problems that we see. The biggest problem that, you know, we're facing right now, all through Northwest Florida, I do a lot of traveling, you know, over to Pensacola, Destin, Fort Walton Beach, and I see this all through this region. There's a lack of capital, a lack of funding for good ideas. Entrepreneurs that have really good ideas are not getting traction because they don't have the funding to launch their business. And so what we're doing is, in parallel, we're setting up another company here called Tech Farms Capital, and it's an angel fund. And the way that works is we, you know, seek out investors, and these are generally, you know, maybe retired people that have disposable, you know, income or wealth that they want to diversify and invest in some startups. You know, history shows that if you could, you know, find the next Google or the next Facebook, it's a you know, quite a return on investment. So we're putting together this angel fund, and our intent is to, you know, literally look at hundreds of companies throughout the region and find the best ones to invest in. And it's, you know, it's a win-win. It's a win for the entrepreneurs. They get the capital. They give away a small, you know, piece of their company for that. They get the exposure. They can plug into our network. We have a, you know, large network that stretches, you know, all over the Southeast as of this point. And funding, once they get the funding, we've seen, as I mentioned the company earlier, Mind Survival is the company. Mind Survival Inc. is the company doing the rebreather. They raised, you know, almost $2 million to get their company, you know, off the ground. And they're looking at some, you know, very big numbers in terms of, you know, sales here the next few years. So capital is the number one thing that we see, and we're working on that with Tech Farms Capital. You can see that information, you know, what companies we're looking for. It's at techfarmscapital.com, and we have a list of, you know, what you know, industries we're looking at. But in general, it's, you know, hardware, software, you know, any kind of cyber type stuff, health, you know, area related devices is of interest. And we'll be happy to, you know, talk to just about any company and you know, see what they need.
Very good stuff. Tom, you there?
So, okay. Yeah, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to offer to join as one of the investors, Scott.
Yeah. I you know, I will support you in doing that, Tom.
Okay.
I'm a DJ, remember?
That's right. You got to get that payola going again or something.
Something,
you know,
like that. And mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I don't have anybody that really wants to pay me to do much of anything. Maybe be quiet, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, but that's mostly coming from you.
We are taking up a collection around this the station to try to get you to talk less.
Well, that's not a problem.
You know, the other side of it, guys, you guys might have ideas. If you don't have, you know, money to invest, you might have good ideas. And who knows? It could be the next big thing.
It takes, you have to sort through a bunch of ideas to get to those Googles or Facebooks, don't
sure.
you?
Sure, absolutely.
That's true.
Well, let's take a quick break. We've got a vinyl play of the day, and this is going back to 1968. I played an oldie yesterday. This is also an oldie. And Tom, you might be familiar with some of the history of it. It is known really as a kind of a theme song for counterculture there in the late 60s. And it was written by a guy named Mars Bonfire. You know who that is?
No, I don't know that
okay.
name.
Okay. Well, this song was originally written as a ballad, believe it or not. And he shopped the song out and offered it to a few other groups. Ultimately, it was recorded by his band Steppenwolf and was not recorded as a ballad and is in some ways considered to be one of the very first heavy metal songs. Can you believe it? You know what song I'm talking about? Born to Be Wild. Can you imagine if the song is a ballad?
Somehow I've heard it so much by Steppenwolf, I'd have a hard time doing that.
Yeah. So here we go back to 1968 for our vinyl play of the day on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild. With the wind and the feeling that I'm under, Final play of the day today on the mix on 90.7 WKGC. A great song there called Born to be Wild. As I mentioned, originally designed or written to be a ballad. I'm imagining like Frank Sinatra singing it or something, you know.
No, Tom? You can, I'll play it for you on the guitar. You can sing it as a ballad one day, Scott.
We'll try that. I'm glad it never made it like that.
Not on air, we won't.
No, we will
not. We'll do it in a soundproof room.
No, exactly. We're coming up on 10 o'clock, but we still have Tommy on the road with us this morning. You're out at Tech Farms.
I am out at Tech Farms, and Tech Farms is kind of right across the Thomas Drive from the Navy. It's this on a road called Holly Circle. It's just off. You turn at the the auto
Mad
part,
Hatter.
The Mad Hatter.
Mad
yeah,
Hatter,
I was trying to remember
right.
what that auto place was. They're
right.
back. They're back in a little industrial farm back here. Very nice facility. And I have Nick with us now. And Nick, I think you're the geek of this outfit. Is that correct?
I would say that's correct.
I've been a professional geek for quite some time.
The geeks shall inherit the earth. I think they already have at this point.
I
read that somewhere that the geeks will inherit the earth.
We'll put you in charge, Tom.
No,
you'll
I'm
have
not,
a place.
I'm not in Nick's league. I know you guys think I'm a geek, but I'm not in Nick's league. No, no. So tell us, Nick, what do you do here? I mean,
okay. Well, it's pretty broad. I do run a company. I am a tenant. I run Branch Networks. It is an ISP, a small mm-hmm. ISP. We do condo Wi-Fi, business Wi-Fi, networks. You know, churches that need mm-hmm. Wi-Fi, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. We bring fiber. Through a third party to condos, businesses, so they have really, really reliable mm-hmm. internet as well as big bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nick, maybe some viewers don't know or listeners don't know what an ISP is, Internet Service Provider.
Right.
Basically, internet.
Yeah, that would be, if you have WOW or Xfinity or something like those.
Correct.
Those guys are ISPs. AT&T through DSL is an ISP.
Right.
And so you become the local ISP. Probably a lot easier to get hold of you than it is to get hold of somebody at one of these bigger companies.
Locally, that's mm-hmm. accurate. That is very accurate.
So that if I'm in a condo or running a hotel or something, and I have Branch Networks, at least there's somebody I can come mm-hmm. and see and say, Nick, it's just not working right.
Right. And I'm generally the one that they would call once they need a real solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of the easier solutions to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I provide a reliable, high-end, high-density
mm-hmm.
Network that mostly condos that have high owner live-in rates
mm-hmm.
Talk to.
Okay.
Because the owners want to have their Cadillac.
Sure,
and
yeah, when they're watching Westworld, they don't want it to be buffering all the time.
Exactly, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the fiber is, as Nick said, the fiber is the real key,
mm-hmm.
and we bring fiber in. It's basically, you know, unlimited bandwidth. It's what,
sure.
what they want to pay for, and he puts access points in every room, which gives, you know, people that come down, tourists that visit us, they have maybe 5-6 mm-hmm. devices among, you know, kids,
mm-hmm.
iPads and phones and laptops and. They're all streaming Netflix at the same time, and it's not an issue with fiber.
Right. It's been 15 years that I've been doing this, and one thing I've learned is that you cannot oversubscribe, which means you have one access point providing service to 4, 6, 8, 10 units.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
No, and especially as you say, if these are visitors and they're down here with the family and they've been out on the beach all day and they're in for the evening, well, if you've got four or five kids, every one of them has an internet connected
sure.
device, and every one of them is going to stream something different,
right?
Right,
and that begins to put a little load on the copper line that used to be there, I suspect.
Right. Well, there still is some copper, but the main pipe is fiber, and that's key. That is really key.
But you're not running 5 miles of copper to get to some place, especially not some of I mean, if you go into the, some of the communities around here, there's lots and lots of copper. It's very old and very long, and that's probably a good reason why I keep having to wait. You know, I just trying to play something on Netflix, and it just I just get little spinny wheels for a while.
Right. So the goal is to change that for this area primarily.
Excellent. And now, what do you do here? Because I see you're here part of the time too. I mean,
I'm here a lot of the time.
You're here a lot of the time. Okay. Okay. We have a living geek here. If I'm coming here and I'm a new tenant here and I'm developing a project out there, what are you going to be doing, helping me with? What services can I expect from you?
So what I would more or less be considered is a generalist. So I have a jack of all trades kind of background. I don't necessarily deal with the business aspect. I don't deal with the financial aspect, but I deal with everything tech related. And that is everything from a front end to a back end, everything that you would have to use as far as infrastructure for any device you would have, any kind of invention you would have. I would more or less generalize everything and evaluate it and kind of give advice as far as where to go next, what it needs, what I feel it needs to become a more viable product.
Okay, cool.
Right. And Nick, you also might want to mention some of the software tools we have for individuals that come in that maybe have a some sort of a part that they want to 3D print. We have SolidWorks, which
right.
is a
platform. So we have the SolidWorks CAD package on multiple PCs here. And we have the high-end PCs as well as a high-end what's called a NUC. Or it's from Intel. It's a very high-end small PC that can be used to run SolidWorks as well as Adobe Suite, as well as your standard Microsoft stuff, as well as use it for prototyping small boards, anything Raspberry Pi, Arduino, any of the Microsoft IoT package. The possibility is there, as well as the high end. So very large, Quattro P6000 video card PCs with 32 gigs of RAM in them, solid state hard drives and everything. We have 3D printers. We have streaming PC so that we can, if somebody wants to come in and they want to stream their content as well as just have a live presentation, we have all of those tools available.
Right, and as far as streaming, we had several SolidWorks user group meetings here where we have literally 35 to 40 individuals from all over the area. They come in, they get the latest news on SolidWorks, the people come in from the corporate office, and we stream that live over the internet. I think it's even on YouTube. You can see previous versions.
Yeah. But now, we were talking off air that you're actually going to do some work with the Northwest Regional Library Systems on their 3D printing setup as well.
Yes, we are in discussions on how we can collaborate. We've had the ladies in here a few weeks ago. And
be very careful. They will bring a ukulele orchestra with them if you let them. So you have to be real careful with those
that
ladies.
That is true.
They'll come in here and play. They do that to us sometimes.
They should not know that.
Okay, well, be careful.
That's good to know. But, yeah, we're doing a lot of outreach with the library, with the colleges, with STEM. STEM is really big these days. We've had the Invention Convention at the college about a month or so ago. It was a huge success, and I don't know what the count was, but it seemed to me there was,
it was busy. I was there. It was busy all day long.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. I couldn't even get to everything, and there was stuff going on at FSU across the street. I was so busy showing people around the ATC, I never even got across the street to see what they were doing over there.
That's right. So we do quite a bit of that, and we support a program called Sea Perch. Maybe Nick, can you talk about Sea Perch?
Okay, so yeah, Sea Perch is the AUVSI Foundation. I forget what that acronym
Yeah,
the,
it's a Navy, Office of Naval Research sponsored a national program.
Right. So then there's Sea Perch, there's RoboNation, and each one of those is everywhere from a elementary school all the way up through a college level STEM based program that is sponsored by the Office of Naval Research. And what the Sea Perch program in particular is a remotely operated vehicle prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's very cheap materials. The total thing costs only about $120 or $115.
It's like an underwater submarine.
Sort mm-hmm. of. Underwater submarine, sorry. It's underwater remotely operated vehicle. So,
wow.
What they do is we can give these to children that are, you know, fifth graders all the way up through the graduating high school mm-hmm. level. And they learn everything from soldering to building of a PVC underwater vehicle.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the competition is held at the college, Gulf Coast, at the pool.
And then on the pool. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And the folks that actually support and do that actually build that course here.
Oh, excellent.
And we store it all here as well. Mm-hmm. So what I was able to do, for example, the Surfside eighth graders mm-hmm. that went to Nationals were able to come here and borrow some of that stuff so that they could actually test their own
right.
implementations mm-hmm. prior to going to Nationals, actually get some practice.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Okay, Scott, we'll head back to you and maybe listen to some music for a minute.
Absolutely. We've coming up here on 10 o'clock.
One more thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to give us, we did say how to get here. What is the exact address here, which I don't know, although I've been here a bunch.
Yes, we're at 7506 Holly Circle.
Okay.
At 7506, and as you said, right off Thomas Drive mm-hmm. across from the Navy base.
Okay.
Excellent. We'll take a quick break then. Yeah.
We'll join you back after a song or two, okay?
All right, we've got Los Del Rio. You guys can join with us as we do the Macarena here on 90.7 WKGC.